Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. This is your friend and host, Mudtoe Sasquatch, joining you for Mudtoe at Midnight, worldwide on the World Wide Web, and also on blogtalkradio.com. And that would be the With Insights Radio Network. Or channel of blogtalkradio.com. So that locates us, and I am doing this broadcast from my apartment for the final time. I don't mean this isn't the final broadcast. I mean it is the last time I'm doing it from this place, because I have to move out of this apartment on Thursday, and so the next time show rolls around, I'll be someplace else. Where will I be? Not quite sure about that part yet, but it'll be someplace safe and secure and someplace where I can do a wonderful, wonderful show for you. It occurs to me that for the past week, since I had to do the show off my cell phone because I had to give up my internet, and I'm unable to do the show on the computer. One of the consequences of that is that I can't play that little opening blurb that I used to play that has some drums playing, and I talk a little bit about who I am and what the show is about. So I guess the part that I'll emphasize is the fact that the sacred fire is lit, and since I didn't have, usually I use incense, since I'm out of incense and I didn't want to buy more than just have to move it, I have a candle, so I lit a candle today. It's better to light just one single candle, right? But I took my candle and I lit it, and I offered it in the four directions, which is a Native American tradition, the four points of the medicine wheel, starting in my particular tradition with the west, and then moving around to the north and the east and the south. The west is the Sikh's council door. Make sure I do this right. The north is heavenly beings and spirits. The east is sees far, and the south is looks within. So these are the things that we think about as we think about the medicine wheel. And I'm getting kind of spiritual here because I've neglected that, I think. I've been mostly kind of whining about myself and my situation and have let go, some of the spiritual element of the show is a very important element, and I don't want to see that go by the wayside. I don't want it just be me talking about me, or me talking about anything else in particular. The spiritual element is, you know, was part of upon which this show was founded, and I want that to be there. I want that to be there for as long as this broadcast continues. So I will share that little part of my spirituality, that little prayer that I did this evening before I went on the air. And basically I'm praying that my words align with my intention, and my intentions align with spirit. And spirit for me is that thing that's out there somewhere that makes the universe go. That sets things moving in a direction. And even as a devoted scientist, I observed that in nature, everything moves in a direction, and it wouldn't necessarily have to. I mean, that there are rules that are set by, and then things move in accordance with those rules. Where did those rules come from? Now, is there an intelligent creator, someone who wrote those rules down for a reason? Or is it some other kind of process that has arisen in some other kind of way? I don't know, and I don't pretend to preach that. I pray for knowledge of what the direction is, because I've found in the past that when I've tried to fight the direction, when I've tried to establish my own, establish my own direction, that's not what I mean. When I've seen a clear indication of the direction that I need to go, I fought it because I didn't want to go that way. It wasn't what I thought I wanted. There was something else that was very I felt was very important to me and that I needed to pursue at the expense of what it was that Spirit was showing me. And I found that whenever that's happened in my life, I've always regretted it. So, and it's not a matter of someone, you know, someone, there's no burning bush, there's no tablets of stone. It's just a matter of receiving a message, a feeling, knowing this path is right and this path is not. Okay, now I'm starting to ramble a little bit, so I think I just want to give you a little feel of where I'm coming from spiritually, because I thought I'd been getting away from that. And just to cap off that little portion of the show, I would like to invite prayers, if you want to use that word, intercessions, if you want to use that word, whatever word it is you use when you communicate with whatever is around us that's making things move, to see if maybe that thing will move things in a way that we want it to. But I feel, you know, I'll speak for myself, that it is a matter of praying. But this is what I would like to see. But the highest good needs to be served, and my intentions, as far as I ask for this, insofar as my intentions align with the intentions of Spirit. Anyway, and there's some stuff to pray about out there right now, and there's probably a lot that could be included. I'm going to stick with probably the headliner, which is the situation that's going on in Israel. And so my prayer for that would be for the greatest good to be served, and for the warring parties in Israel to find a way to live together without killing each other and without busting up each other's stuff. I'm inviting you. I'm not asking for prayers. I'm inviting. I guess that would be a very subtle difference. I probably should explain that. I'm not instructing you to pray. That's kind of a different. That's more of a churchy thing. Pray now. And I wouldn't dare that was a weird place for my brain to get stuck. I wouldn't dare to say what you should pray for. Okay, here I'm not asking you, please pray for what I want you to pray for. I'm inviting you to, here's what I'm praying for. I'm inviting you to pray for this too. Or pray for whatever it is that you want to pray for. Whatever it is that you see as important, pray for that. And we can all send our energy together to a place where things will be made better. So my particular prayer, which I'm inviting you to join, you don't have to pray. You don't have to pray at all. You pray for something else, or not pray at all. But peace in the Middle East, particularly in Israel, is where I'm aiming my prayer power today. Let's go with something a bit more personal, and this one's kind of odd. But I'm not going to give. I haven't asked if I can pray for this person, so I'm not going to tell you their name. Not that you would ever meet them or know them anyway, but it's just one of those things. That sort of I feel better in myself. I want to pray for this person, but since I have not asked for permission, I don't want to use that person's name again, even though you will never meet them. A few of you listening might know them. People who know me might also know this person. But I know she is trying desperately to join her family who live in Florida. But unfortunately, ill health has prevented her from traveling there. Her trip and her plans have been canceled a number of times. And now she is hoping that the next trip that's been planned for September will come off, so that she can get down there before the weather gets cold up here. She's done more than her share of Ohio winters. She's more than entitled to head down to warmer climes. So my prayer with regards to her is that she will get to do her trip and be able to go down to Florida and stay there with her relatives, where it's warm and she doesn't have to deal with ice and slush. So again, I said you can make that prayer for my friend, or you can think of a friend who's in a similar situation. You can think of a friend who's in an entirely different situation, and send that prayer energy along to Spirit, where we have to have faith that it'll be used. They don't know that it'll be used, but we have faith that our and to the setting of our intentions can change, or at least shape what happens in, it's just sort of a contradiction of the, not contradiction, what's the word I want? I mean, if it is that Spirit has a, if it is so that Spirit has a consciousness and makes decisions, then our prayers probably don't mean a whole lot. Because if there's a plan, you know, and it goes on for you know, goes back for hundreds of thousands of years and goes forward for hundreds of thousands of years, you know, our little tweaks probably aren't going to be, I mean, there's probably several levels down that's dealing with stuff like that. That's probably in sort of lower levels of the office building. It probably doesn't get to the God level, I wouldn't imagine. So I think that when we make these sort of prayers to Spirit, we're presuming that there is not a fixed plan, at least on this level, at least on the level of, well, I'm saying a prayer for a person, so at least on that level, and I've also set a prayer for nations and peoples. So if Spirit has a plan for Israel, my prayers, my intention, even if my prayers tuck together with the prayers of millions of others, probably aren't going to make a difference. So why do we pray? We pray because of the possibility that there is no plan. Because that's why I pray. That there is a Spirit, that the Spirit out there that sets things into motion also responds to our wishes and our desires to shape what it is that's happening in the world. Does any of this make any sense? Probably not. It's awfully late. But anyway, we prayed for, actually I have prayed, I've set the intention to send my energy for a towards a peaceful resolution of the conflict in Israel, and towards a safe and healthy trip for my friend to take a well-deserved rest in Florida. Okay, now is my intention going to be enough to make either of those things happen? Probably not. My intention combined with other people's, maybe. I don't know. But That's a tenet of my spirituality. A piece of my spirituality is I believe that the verdict of Spirit can be shaped in that way. That prayers are answered. Not always the way you want them to be. And it's not a matter of someone looking down a list and seeing if the proper requirements have been met. So that was two. I have one more. This is going to be a prayer for myself. And this is what I don't do lightly, especially since this is something I picked up from 12-step. There would be dispute over this. I think there are probably people who would say this isn't so. I think there are probably some hardcore people who say, you're not supposed to pray for yourself. You can ask. In some meetings I went to, you weren't supposed to ask for prayers for yourself. But in some, most you could. But then there was always the thing about if you prayed for, if you went around the circle and prayed for yourself, that was sort of considered gauche. But in this case, I've prayed for Israel, and I've prayed for my friend. I think I've earned the right to pray for myself. It's nothing big. I just got to get this doggone furniture out of my apartment before zero hour arrives. There are five major pieces of apartment furniture in the apartment. There was an entertainment center, a bed, kitchen table, chest of drawers, and a computer desk. And the two major ones, the biggest ones, the biggest pain in the ass ones, were the entertainment center. And probably in terms of, there's no way I could move them myself. So if I was going to move them out to the road, you know, just to sit out there for somebody to pick them up, Because other than that, I don't know if we did something more in a more structured way to put them in the yard, and we had a truck come from the Volunteers of America or Goodwill or something like that to come pick them up. There'd be no way I could do it by myself. Now, it's possible I could get someone to help me, and maybe we could do it, but it's still kind of a pain. So what I want to do, I put an ad on Craigslist for each of the five major pieces of furniture to see if I get someone to give me a few bucks for them, first of all, because I could use the few bucks. Second, we get them out of the apartment and not have to stage the embarrassment of me trying to hustle them out on my own onto the lawn or out by the street. I'm very happy to report that this evening I actually managed to sell one of those pieces. I was starting to get worried because it's been going on for a while now, and you're not getting a lot of interest. And actually, just people who have called me are people I've kind of been 3 or 4 days trying to figure out whether they're going to take it or not. Finally, they came back tonight and they took it, and so I'm one down, four to go. Now the really important one remaining is the bed. The bed needs to go. I have someone who's interested, and they said they're going to tell me tomorrow. I got fingers crossed. Please, 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 please take the bed. Because once the bed is out of here, the other three pieces, I can hustle all three of those pieces myself. I could get them out onto the lawn without any trouble. I could get them to the street without any trouble. So really the task, the major task is completed if I can get rid of the bed, get the bed into somebody else's hands. Then I can turn to the task of packing up whatever possessions I still have left. Most of them I've already taken to storage at my parents' house. But there's still a little. Most of what I have here can be thrown away, and that's. I've been thinking about. I'm looking around. I'm thinking about 2 hours work maybe to get everything bagged up and either you're ready to throw away or ready to put in my car and take home with me at my next opportunity. So the bed is really the linchpin of it. If I can get rid of the bed, then I don't have to worry about finding someone to help me put them out on the lawn or finding someone to stay at the apartment while I'm on jury duty. So they can let the truck people in and take the stuff from where it's sitting in the apartment. So my prayer that I'm praying for myself and that I invite you to pray for me is that this person sometime during the night will see the light. He will want to purchase this bed. It's a fine bed. You know, it's not an expensive bed, but it's a fine deal. It keeps you off the floor. It's very sturdy. It doesn't take up very much room. I think it's a good buy at what I'm asking for it. So hopefully this, I'm praying to spirit that that my customer will be led or otherwise inspired to purchase this bed from me, or that something, that a better outcome will occur. So you always want to pray. I should speak for myself. I always want to pray, first of all, what am I going to pray? I'm going to pray that the highest purpose is served. And, you know, my intentions are aligning with the attention of the Spirit, and that as I ask for this to happen, or for something better, because you know the Spirit has an intention for me to have something that's on a higher level than this. I don't want the Spirit to wad that up and throw it away and just to give me this sort of lower thing. You're staying with intention. You know, maybe it's not a hard and fast plan, but there could be intention. And you know, and just selling the bed would work out as far as the intention was concerned. But what Spirit's saying, what I really have for you is this. So as part of the prayer, if the highest purpose be served, please inspire this person, my customer, to purchase this bed from me, or you send me something better. And that's a prayer. So if you want to join me in that prayer to kind of help me out, that's fine. Or if you'd rather pray for a friend in a similar condition and situation, or a friend in a completely different situation and send the energy that way, that's fine. Let's just pray. Let's just start praying and getting the spirit moving and churning up and aware that we are aware. Does that work when we do that? Or you don't have to do that. This is by invitation. If you don't feel moved to do so, don't do that. Okay. I think I'm going to pay some more attention to prayers on the show, although I promise I won't spend 20 minutes on them every week. Helps me out to start off with something that is 20 minutes, because now I know I'm reasonably comfortable that I'm going to get to the end of the show without going completely blank and having to look for like a label to read so we can get to the end of the 30 minutes. I'm saying that, I'm starting to, you can hear me starting to stumble, can't you? You guys know the rhythms of the show. You've been listening for long enough. I was out tonight, and I made a mental note of a couple things I wanted to share with you. The first thing was, let me come at it this way. I go up a block. I live about a block away from the main drag. I go over a block to the main drag and then up a block, and there is a bar there, which, you're going to a bar, I don't need a drink. I have Coke. They know I have Coke. The girls there, they see me come in, and they pour me a Coke. I go there because they have televisions, and I don't have a television. And also, on Sunday nights, they have live music, and other times, they have other forms of music. Today, they had karaoke. And I have not sung karaoke ever since they had it at Iggy's restaurant, and I've missed it. I missed the camaraderie with that group of people as well. So this was obviously a different group of people, but I said, yeah, well, give it a shot, and there weren't very many people around. So I got up, and I sang one of my favorite karaoke songs, which is King of the Road by Roger Miller. And I sang it not too cleverly, but passable. And I got a little bit of applause from the crowd, and I felt pretty good. So I put in another song, and I got up a few minutes later, and I sang, what was the second song I sang? Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot, another big favorite of mine. And I sang it, and I got a little bit more applause. I wasn't getting any real feedback from the karaoke master, but other people were giving me some polite applause, so that was fine. So I sang that third one, and this time I got kind of bold. I was going to sing a song that I've never sung at karaoke before. I was going to sing Paranoid by Black Sabbath. And I sent it in. While this was going on, the bar really started to get crowded. I mean, it's a Friday night. And the more time went by, I started thinking, obviously, there were more people singing the karaoke. I was having to wait my turn. I've never sung this song at karaoke. Do I really want to do this in front of all these people? And it started to get loud, and there's drunkenness happening, and people are running back and forth, and this starts to get on my nerves. So, I pay my minuscule bill. I pay $2. It's usually a buck for the Coke, and I leave a buck for the tip. And occasionally, a couple of the girls don't charge me at all, in which case I leave $2 for the tip. So I told the girl, I said, on a percentage basis, I must be the best tipper you have. But, I threw my $2 on the bar, and I skedaddled out and sort of ran out on my karaoke spot. So I don't know what the karmic consequences of that might be. But I think it's really better for all concerned, because I do not know how Paranoid was going to come out. I would have, in friendly confines, surrounded by people I know, I'd give it a shot and see how it went. But, here was sort of an increasingly drunken and aggressive crowd. I really didn't care to proceed under those circumstances. So I was walking home. Again, I'm walking a block down and a block over. And at the corner there, I'm noticing on the telephone pole is one of those lost pet posters. Somebody's lost their cat. And I'm waiting for the light to change, so I'm reading the lost cat poster, and someone has written on it that the cat has been lost since May the 12th. It's a 5/12/14. And I presume they're talking about 2014. You're supposed to write out all four digits, because maybe the cat was lost in 1914 and it's been gone for 100 years, or maybe the cat's thinking of getting lost 100 years from now, in 2114. But I just assume that they are talking about this year, 2014. And I'm thinking, 2.5 months, that's right, and then May would be half a month, and June would be 1.5, and July is almost over, so 2.5 months. The cat's the cat's not missing so much as he's run away, I think. I mean, unless the cat had an accident, you know, God forbid, I don't want to wish that on the cat. I don't hope the cat had an accident. But people, I think they kind of make that, pets, I don't think pets run away. I don't think pets get lost. Let's say lost pet. But I don't think pets get lost. I think the vast majority of the time they run away. And then, you know, there are special circumstances that happen at certain other times. So 5/12/14, it's been a while since then, and I'm looking over this poster, and I noticed that in the picture of this cat, and he's wearing a Santa Claus cap. I said, well, there's your problem right there. They forced him to wear that cap. That's why he ran away. That's the important information to have would be, how long between the cap. Christmas from May, so he lived with that shame for 5 months. And finally said, I can't take it anymore. And he looked for his, or maybe just for the whole 5 months, he was looking for his opportunity, looking for that door to open. Somebody be careless with that door, just leave it open just too long. And he bolted. Freedom! Freedom from the cat! I don't know. Cats sometimes, I know cats run away sometimes when they're getting ready to die. I read that. It happened with my ex-wife's cat. Was my wife for a while, and then she was my ex-wife. And I had occasion to talk to her. I don't even remember why, but because I have no idea where she is now. But she had said that the cat had disappeared and had come back after a certain amount of time, but then disappeared again, and they found him in the woods, passed away. And she said she had, the vet had shared with her that sometimes cats just want to be by themselves when they're about ready to die. I'm chuckling. I shouldn't be. We had one of the many places that I worked between the offices where I worked and the offices where a lot of the other people worked, there was a warehouse. And so I spent a lot of time walking through this warehouse, going from one set of offices to the other set of the office, because I had to be in both of them a lot. And I was just walking along. I think I just stopped to talk to somebody, and we heard this kind of crash. I was looking around, and this cat was falling. It had just fallen down off of like from a high shelf, and was just kind of spinning down, but bouncing off the various levels, and then hit the ground, and he was dead. That was a dead cat. And I don't know, because we thought he was dead when he fell. He got up there and he died, and he fell. Because, if he had just fallen, there would have been some, there was no physical damage really to explain his, he didn't have a broken neck. There was no blood or anything. You would have thought he wouldn't have been, dead, and maybe not right away. He would have been struggling. These are the kind of things you think about when you're standing in a warehouse between two offices. You really want to go to either of them. You kind of stand, four or five of you standing around this dead cat trying to figure out what happened. But, maybe that was in his hideout. He didn't, because there were always kinds of cats. It was hard to get them because they would find places to hide in the plant, and they were very smart. But then you were this cat in the warehouse, which is not a usual place to find one of the cats. I've made it through another show, folks. Thank you for your patience. There's all kinds of stuff, about whiny stuff about me that I could have gone into. I guess that prayer stuff about me was a little bit whiny, but not as bad as I've been for the past few weeks. I managed to avoid it completely. No whininess from me today about me. So thanks for joining me. I hope you will join me next week when I will be talking to you from someplace else, starting the next chapter. Again, one more time, thanks for joining me, and have a pleasant evening.